Well, hello, my little creepies. Oh, yes. It's that time again. We talk about UFOs and Bigfoot, paranormal, true crime, and conspiracy stories, and all things creepy. Yes, this is The Creepy Show. You can find us online at creepy.show. And I'm your host, the Master of Creep.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Creepy Show podcast. I'm your host, the Master of Creep. Now, tonight's episode is called UFO Encounter, Crew Missing. My name is Jake, and I served in the U.S. Navy for about 4 years, and then I left the Navy and I got a job as a merchant marine. The year was 1957, and we were hired for buoy inspection in the North Atlantic sea lanes. These shipping lanes were established in the mid to late 1800s. The North Atlantic sea lanes was inspired by the sinking of a U.S. mail steamer, the SS Arctic, which collided with a French steamer, the SS Vesta, in October of 1854. More than 300 sailors lost their lives. Our job was to inspect, repair, or replace buoys that marked the shipping lanes. In October of 1957, we were 90 nautical miles west of North Scotland in search of several buoys that had broken away and were floating outside of the shipping lanes. Our job was to find these buoys, recable and re-anchor them back into place. While looking for the buoys, we came across an older Echo-class ship that was abandoned and slightly listing to the starboard side. Several of us took a smaller dinghy over to check out the ship and found that no one was on board. The older ship looked like it had been just floating without power for years. There was no sign of anybody on board, as though they had all just vanished. There were still unopened cans of food in the galley and dirty plates broken on the floor. Why, it looked like somebody had a fight in here and started throwing plates at each other. Well, we decided to tow the vessel back into the port of Ness Bay, which was the closest port from our location. I think I found out what happened to the crew, but what I would like to do is just read from the captain's journal in his own words. I found the captain's journal and started reading entries. The last entry was made on Thursday, February 21st, 1957. That was more than 6 months ago. Apparently, Captain Williams was in the habit of writing a detailed daily entry into his journal. While creating this podcast, I have changed the names of the captain and the crew in addition to the names of the ship upon request of the British Secret Intelligence Service, also known as MI6. Apparently, they did not want this information to see the light of day. Upon reading the journal, I discovered that there were 7 sailors aboard the vessel, including the captain. The first sign of trouble was on Sunday, February 17, 1957. The captain recorded seeing another ship on the horizon. It seems to be about 10 miles away. All you could see were the lights, and they seemed to be flickering, as though they were trying to signal a distress call. the captain ordered the ship to make a straight course to investigate the lights. As the ship got closer, the captain realized that the lights were not coming from another ship. Why, these lights seemed to be in the midair. But it wasn't an airplane, it was something else. The lights were coming from a saucer-shaped airship that was spinning. This is why the lights seemed to be flickering. The captain and the crew were stunned upon seeing this airship, and one of the crew members said, "This is a UFO." This is the first time the captain had ever heard this term used. A UFO, you know, an unidentified flying object. The captain decided to turn his ship around to get away from this thing, but as his ship reversed course, the UFO started following them. Reading into the captain's journal, the next entry was Monday, February the 18th, 1957. The captain writes, "We continued to move back toward the North Atlantic sea lanes, but this UFO just won't leave us alone." The captain notes that he doesn't intend to report this because of fear of losing his position as a captain. "The UFO seems to be following us, but staying a few miles to our stern, as though they were just curious and wanted to see what we were up to. I directed two of our crew members to stay awake all night and watch this thing, and wake me up if it gets any closer or if anything changes." The next entry into the captain's journal was the next day, Tuesday, February 19th, 1957. The journal reads, "I woke up and everything seemed normal. No reports of anything out of the ordinary. I went up on top deck to check on the two crew members and found that they were not at their assigned post. I did not see the UFO and assumed that it went away. What the hell? I was furious. Where were those two crew members I posted just the night before? I had already decided to dock their pay for a day because they didn't follow my orders. They were supposed to keep an eye on this UFO and let me know if anything changes. I assumed that they had just left their post and found a place to sleep on the ship. I called all crew attention over the ship's intercom, and the other crew members gathered on top deck, but the two missing crew members were in fact gone. I went from being mad to being worried. Where were they? What happened to them? There were no storms. It just seemed to be a quiet night, and yet they are still missing. None of the lifeboats were gone. None of the life preservers were missing. This is a complete mystery. I called a meeting of all crew members together, and we decided to search every inch of the ship and look for the missing crew members. But nothing was ever found. Many of the crew members started talking about the UFO and speculating that it had something to do with the missing crew. At this point, I was inclined to agree with them. We reversed course to go back and look for them, but we never found any trace of them. I used the ship's shortwave radio to report the two missing crew members, but still did not mention anything about the UFO. That night, the UFO returned off of our stern. It seemed to be just a few miles away, and it seemed to be following us again. At this point, I broke down and reported seeing the craft, and I was ordered to immediately return to port. I assigned two more crew members to maintain a watch, but this time I made sure they were armed. The next entry into the captain's journal was Wednesday, February 20th, 1957. It reads, "I woke up to the sounds of screams and gunfire. I jumped from my bed and I grabbed a gun and I ran to the ship's topside. I was met by two other crew members who had also woke up because of the turmoil. It was about 5 a.m., but it was still dark. The two crew members I posted the night before were gone. Now I have lost 4 of my 6 crew members. Now it is just me, Taylor, and Pete, the ship's cook. We searched the ship and found one of the lost crew members' severed hand. It was very disturbing, and it scared the hell out of us. It looked like one of our crew members fought back, and they got their hand cut off. The hand looked like it was sliced off with a single blow, like you would expect from a samurai sword, except it had burn marks at the wrist. We couldn't tell whose hand it was. We could still see the UFO several miles away, still following us. We were completely exhausted, but none of us could sleep. We spent the entire day into the evening speculating about what had happened. We were only about 40 hours out of port and decided to try to stay awake until we were safely home. The next journal entry was Thursday, February 21st, 1957. It's 2 a.m. I have locked myself into my cabin. I have a gun and several rounds of ammunition. I can hear that something is not right. Sounds like a fight in the galley, but I'm too scared to leave my cabin. I am documenting everything because I don't know what is going to happen to me. I can hear screams. It sounds like Taylor. I recognized his voice. And I could hear him say, "Keep away. Keep away." And then one last scream and a very loud thud on the top of my cabin room. He must be right over me. What in the hell is going on? I'm generally not afraid of anything, but this is just too much. I am trembling so much, I'm having a hard time writing. I'm not going to unlock my door for anything, even if I have to stay in here for days. I can't even imagine what is. And that's where the journal ended, in mid-sentence. Something happened to Captain Williams. Something very evil. After reading the captain's journal, I revisited the ship that we were towing. I went to the room where he made his last stand, and I noticed that his door was on the floor and damaged. Something broke in. Something very strong. The hinges on his cabin door were pulled away from the wood, like something just blasted through it with one swift move. I looked in the galley and determined that it was where Pete was, the cook. He had made his last stand, and it looks like he ran out of rounds and started throwing dishes. Whatever attacked the crew, it must have been overwhelming and powerful. And the only clue that anyone had that anybody was there was that severed hand still in the ship's freezer. When we finally towed the crippled ship into the port of Nest Bay, we were met by British Secret Intelligence Service people who confiscated the journal and the ship. They interviewed each one of the crew members from my ship, including me. They instructed us to not ever share this information with anybody. But I had already copied down the entire journal for my own personal interest. Well, that was more than 63 years ago, and I'm just now releasing this story exclusively for the Creepy Show podcast.
As the casket closes on another creepy episode, we bid you farewell to the shadows that danced upon your fears. Oh, and thank you for joining us on this creepy journey into the unknown, where the darkness whispers secrets and the silence echoes within your soul. Find us online for some extra creepy content at creepy.show. And if you happen to make it through the night, don't forget to share this podcast with someone you want to terrorize. Good night, my little creepies. Sleep with one eye open, for the night is long and full of horror.
Ha 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 ha